graphics that seem to be underwater read Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner Entertainment Company, Village Roadshow Pictures. Over an aerial view of a wide expanse of ocean, the screen reads Warner Brothers Presents. In association with Village Roadshow Pictures, Groucho 3 Film Partnership. Deep Blue Sea. A blonde-haired woman dangles her toes in the water off the side of a sailboat. A man is on top of her, and they're smiling. They kiss. From an underwater perspective, her foot is seen dipping in and out of the water. A boombox with a teddy bear on top is on the side of the boat. Above them, another couple is lying on a blanket.
Beautiful.
What's that?
Where?
Did you feel something?
Yeah, I feel something.
The young woman gets up and he follows her.
Hey, get back here.
Woo, turn up the music.
She dances and the other couple kisses.
We're having a party, man.
That's a hell of a party.
Let's rock it. I don't believe it.
A bottle of wine falls over.
Stop!
I heard all right.
The red wine spills over the side and into the water. The first couple looks around nervously.
Yeah, okay. Did you hear that? Listen, listen.
The boat's sail rocks back and forth. The boombox falls into the water.
You guys hear that?
What is that?
The boat's floor moves and the two couples look around.
Everybody, shh. Stay up there.
The teddy bear sinks downward into the water.
What is that?
A shark bursts through the floor, knocking the couples back and into the water. One woman struggles to get back on the boat. The other side, the other woman and her date look out and see the shark in the water, then quickly swim back toward the boat. They stay helplessly in the water as they pull and pull the slack out of a rope coiled on the deck. The shark swims rapidly toward them. The shark is shot with a harpoon from another boat. A man shoots another harpoon. The shark thrashes around in the water, tethered just a few feet from the couple. The man with the harpoon stares at them. A helicopter flies into a downtown area and lands on a helicopter pad emblazoned with the letter C. Woman gets out and walks away from the helicopter. A headline reads, Test Shark Escapes.
Okay. We've had some problems at the facility. What we're attempting to achieve here has never been done. We're this close to the reactivation of a human brain cell.
Doctor, the $200 million I've sunk in this company is due in great part to your research. But when the market opens Monday, despite my reputation, I don't like heights. Especially falling from them. I'm sorry, honestly.
The doctor frowns and clenches her jaw tightly. She walks away from two men at a desk.
Tell me, Mr. Franklin, have you ever known anyone with Alzheimer's?
Well, no.
By the end, all my father could do was ask why my mother wasn't at home. And each time I told him she was dead, I had to watch him take that loss like a car wreck. 200,000 men and women develop Alzheimer's each year. What if you could end all that suffering with a single pill?
She walks back to the desk.
Give me till Monday morning, 48 hours. I'll give you results that'll skyrocket your stock price, or I'll help you pack the lab myself. It's your call.
Franklin and the other man watch as she walks out. Later, a small seaplane flies over the ocean. Franklin and the doctor are inside.
You know, that was quite an impressive speech you gave back there.
I read that article on you. The thing in the Himalayas.
Alps.
Right.
We were just trying to do something together. Having fun. Things went bad.
But you saved all those people.
Not all.
She casts a sidelong glance at him as she pilots the plane. In the distance, a massive floating structure comes into their view.
The Navy built it for World War II submarine loading, refueling. When they mothballed it, we picked it up.
Looks like Alcatraz floats.
She steers the plane toward the structure, a tower surrounded by a network of floating walkways and other small buildings. Later, the blonde-haired harpooner wearing a muscle shirt walks through a gate where a sign reads, Aquatica Research. He watches a man guiding a large net holding a shark.
¿Qué pasó, amigo?
Hey, onda, carajo.
Lo mismo de siempre.
She got a darn license plate jammed in her mouth.
It's a good deal, amigo.
Pronto, Angelo. Drop her, Billy.
They drop the shark into an enclosed area of water. A woman with short blonde hair approaches the plane. She smiles as she walks to the doctor and Franklin.
Russell Franklin, Janice Higgins, marine biologist. Jan, we're getting settled.
The doctor walks away.
Welcome to our island paradise.
Where's tattoo? You know, short guy.
Janice furrows her brow.
The plane, boss, the plane.
Right.
I am getting old.
So how much do you know about our facility?
Treat me like a tourist.
Oh, no, I hate tourists, and I've decided I'm going to like you.
Franklin looks uneasily at the locked gate behind him. He looks around and sees the figure of a man swimming through the water below him. The doctor walks on the other side of the large enclosed pool. A large tiger shark surfaces, then swims toward the man. It's the shark with the license plate in its mouth.
Hey!
The doctor looks over, and Franklin stands beside Janice as they watch the shark swimming behind the man. The shark comes at him, its mouth gaping. He barely escapes the shark's mouth, then grabs onto its fin, and it carries him along. The doctor smiles and continues walking. The man wrestles the license plate out of its mouth, and the shark swims away. The doctor looks at the license plate and smiles as the man climbs out of the water.
Louisiana.
He's the harpooner.
I'm thinking he's bought in a pet shop in Baton Rouge. Ate everything in his fish tank, then he ate the guy that bought him.
Next day,
fills up the cab of the guy's truck with water and drives himself down to Baja, picking bones out of his teeth for the license plate. We need to talk.
She nods.
Later.
She leaves.
Carter Blake, Russell Franklin, president of the board of Chimera Pharmaceuticals.
Franklin extends his hand to Carter.
Whoa. That was incredible.
Actually, they don't like the taste of us very much.
Carter bends to pick up the license plate and his gloves.
They bite you. It's because they think you're a fat little seal.
Franklin smiles.
Or rich soup.
His smile fades, and Carter hands him the license plate.
Nice meeting you.
Carter leaves, and Franklin looks at Janice.
Friendly place.
You got full sentences. Usually he just kind of nods. Word travels fast about why you're here and all.
So was that the Jin 1 that escaped?
That little guy? No way. Those are the normals. These three are the test sharks.
Franklin walks to the edge of the walkway.
Two first generation and one second generation female.
He looks out as a huge underwater shadow passes.
Beneath its glassy surface, a world of gliding monsters.
Franklin and Janice are seen from an underwater view.
It's pretty scary stuff, huh?
Yes, it is.
California taxi. Hey, Ben, I'm picking up a nasty little bitch of a squall about 30 miles out. Over.
Copy that. We'll be all right.
A woman in the tower switches on some music.
I can see clearly now.
Jan, stay out of the rain. See you.
But where are they going? They hate me too?
Oh, they're going home. We run a skeleton crew on the weekend. But they probably hate you anyway.
There's Dr. Jim Whitlock. The most brilliant man ever.
He's pissing into the wind. How brilliant can he be?
You'll see.
On his small boat, Carter attaches a vial of liquid to a harpoon tip. Another man approaches.
What happened, Deadeye? You missed with the first shot?
Took two hits to even slow it down.
What, are you kidding me? Two of these things should have damn near killed it.
Don't tell it that, Scott.
Hey, you missed. Don't get mad at me just because you can't shoot worth a spit.
Look, man, he hadn't left the pen open last night. I could have got a good night's sleep.
Look, I already told the doc. I locked the pen like I do every other night. The fish got out some other way. Huh. What are you looking at me like that for? Who are you going to trust? Me. That's who. You trust me. You know why? Because I'm trustworthy.
Scoggs takes a bag from the boat and walks away.
Hey, how high are these fences off the water?
Well, given the surface variations and tensile strength...
Scoggs, short answer, man.
8 feet, give or take a centimeter?
Carter looks out at two sharks. Janice and Franklin are in an elevator going down.
I'm sorry, I'm making Aquatica sound like some kind of mental hospital.
No, not really. Well, maybe a little.
The truth is, it is. But almost everyone here is top of their game. Living below is like living in space. You don't get very many mistakes. Besides the half a mile of catwalks, you've bought us titanium-based fencing around all the lagoon and pens. There are three sub-levels. Sub-level one is living quarters, two, wet lab and workshops, and three, engineering and airlocked wet entry.
Franklin looks at a monitor.
Welcome to Aquatica.
The doctor enters a room and goes to a locker. She digs around inside it. She looks at a porthole as some small fish scatter. She takes a plastic bag with diskettes to a computer. She puts a zip disk in a drive and watches as the image of a shark appears on her monitor. Words appear on the monitor. Jim Whitlock walks past her.
Did you dose the Gen 2 with the serum?
I had Carter do it as soon as she called from the city. She'll be ready by tomorrow night.
But
we will not be ready. 2 months ahead of schedule. We're skipping 3 rounds of preliminary trials.
No choice.
She inserts a needle into the brain of a shark model.
You wait your whole life for a single moment. And then one day it's tomorrow.
She attaches a syringe at the top of the needle. Franklin is with Carter on a lower level of Aquatica.
So, what exactly does a shark wrangler do?
Pretty much what it sounds like, I guess.
How'd you end up here at Aquatica?
I like the water. Tastes good.
Hey, an auger mask. Did some wreck diving in one of these off the coast of Spain. Tourist thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You, like wreck diving?
It's okay.
Come on, I bet you're really good at it.
We're on the water. Old cat and mouse thing, don't float. You're the man, right?
Yeah, I'm the man.
Well, a man's always got a file. What's it say?
2 years, Leavenworth, smuggler.
How'd you make your money, man? You the first rich guy in history to squeak it clean?
You do understand my concern, right?
Look, I got a workable deal here. I don't make waves. I meet the terms of my parole. And I'm not out to change the world like the doc. And I'm not out to wreck it either.
Franklin smiles slightly, then walks away. In a large kitchen. Money make the world go
round. And homie, if you got hey, it, you can get it.
A large man with a shaved head opens an oven. Wearing a chef's uniform, he takes 2 round cakes to a table.
Fat butt. You got a big fat butt.
You know what, Bert? You were trying my last nerve. Don't make me drown your feathery ass. Give myself a cat.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
He feeds the parrot some frosting.
Feeding time.
He looks out a small porthole. On the other side, Carter is swimming through a long enclosed cage in full diving gear.
I'm releasing the tiger shark in 30 seconds, Carter. Copy.
I hear you. I'm going in.
Topside, Scoggs leans over a shark pen.
You guys hungry?
The tiger shark is released into the pen. Below, Carter stops and makes a hand motion. 3 sharks swim toward him. Test shark swoops in on the tiger shark and bites its pin off. Carter watches as another shark attacks, and they both tear the tiger shark up. The woman in the tower talks on the intercom.
Dr. McAllister, we have a situation up here. Could you please come to surface level?
Dr. McAllister, could you come to surface level, please?
The doctor steps onto the surface level platform and looks around.
Hello?
She walks slowly onto a catwalk, the dark water surrounding her. She looks up as a red flare is shot into the sky. Then another. Later, a shark swims quietly in the lagoon. Above it, near the tower, a party is going on.
Hey, Carter, come and join us. There's too much woman on this deck to handle.
Vodka, straight. And, by the way, food was excellent, brother.
The chef nods, then pours the vodka.
You're the guy that got caught in that avalanche, right?
Yeah, I'm the one.
Like black men don't have enough ways to get killed without climbing up some stupid-ass mountain in the middle of God's nowhere. Need to leave that to the white folks, brother.
He sets the drink in front of Franklin, then smiles. Franklin smiles and walks away. Buttoning his shirt, Carter walks up some steps.
Happy birthday.
I'll let you know tomorrow. How's life underwater?
Well, it's a lot less complicated than it is on the surface. That's for sure.
Nice work with that new tiger shark today. One day you'll have to tell me how you learned that.
One day he'll take me up on that beer, and maybe I will.
Well, it's all work for me, Carter. But, like you said, one day...
Franklin's with Janice and Jim.
Sharks never get cancer or go blind or show any loss of brain activity as they age. Unlike some people I know.
Sharks are the oldest creatures on the planet. From a time when the world was just flesh and teeth.
By using a hormonal enhancer, we increase this female's forebrain to 5 times its normal size.
To harvest more protein.
Exactly. Protein that may reactivate...
That will.
That will. That will reactivate human brain cells as stored in the forebrain of the shark.
I'm just amazed that we've come so far so fast without genetic tampering.
Genetic engineering to increase brain mass is in direct violation of the Harvard Genetics Compact, not to mention Chimera policy.
Carter follows the doctor down some steps.
They're hunting in packs. Like wild dogs. They'll only eat other sharks.
You're reading too much into it.
That Gen 1 attacked a 25-foot boat.
He steps in front of her.
Am I reading too much into that, too?
Did you tell Franklin?
I'm just a fish keeper, lady. But bringing in that shark ahead of schedule is a very bad idea.
Do you like your job?
Are you threatening me, Doc?
No. But if we don't pull off that test tomorrow, we're all on the street. You're a good man, Carter. But with your background...
He stares at her.
Ah. Right.
He walks away and steps to the edge of the lagoon. She leaves, and Scoggs joins Carter.
How's Miss Smarty Pants?
Hope she's not as dumb as she seems. Raise those fences like I asked.
I took care of it. Let's go get a beer.
Dark clouds loom above Aquatica.
West Coast storm advisories include all craft warnings for water south of the U.S. mainland and west of California. A tropical depression is generating gale force winds and is associated with heavy rains and ocean swells to 30 feet or more. Repeat, U.S. Coast Guard advisories.
Wearing a robe, the doctor is drying her hair with a towel. She takes a key on a chain from a table and puts it around her neck, tucking it into her robe. Topside, Scoggs closes some valves. A red light comes on next to a sign that reads, Heavy Weather Fuel Shutdown. Carter grabs a gun and puts on a diving mask. He stands at the edge of a pool as a metal cover opens in the middle. The doctor, Franklin, Jim, Janice, and Scoggs approach the wet lab. Franklin steps inside and looks around.
Welcome to my parlor, Mr. Franklin.
The large two-level room contains computers, desks, lockers, and other equipment, as well as the large pool in the middle.
Wow.
In the tower.
Wet lab, we're taking a tally up here. Can't see past my nose, so I suggest check 10 monitors and lagoon monitors. I can't imagine there's much visibility below.
Carter, you copy?
Jim leans over a microphone.
Carter?
Okay, I'm approaching the tunnel.
Bingo, Elvis has left the building.
Okay, we picked you up, but visibility is near zero.
No problem.
Carter swims through the enclosed tunnel and rounds a corner. He continues slowly through the murky water as the others watch him on a monitor. Two sharks crash into either side of the tunnel and bite at the mesh walls. The others watch.
How long have they been synchronized like this?
Carter raises his gun and the sharks back away.
Tell me I didn't see that.
Carter lowers the gun, and the sharks leave.
They recognize that gun.
It's impossible. Sharks do not swim backwards. They can't.
Let's try to stay focused, people.
What the hell was that?
One of the monitors switches to static. Another one dies.
We lost picture in Gen 2, Pen.
Okay, hold on.
On the third monitor, the image of an open-mouthed shark looms up. Then the monitor goes out. The lights go off in the tunnel area. In the lab, Jim stares at the malfunctioning monitors, then looks at the doctor and puts his hand over his mouth. Underwater, Carter shines a light on a control box. leaves the enclosed tunnel and swims out into open water.
Carter, you copy?
They look at the static field monitors.
Carter, do you copy?
A mammoth shark follows Carter.
Carter, talk to me, man. Do you copy?
Franklin glances at the doctor. She frowns.
Carter, cut the crap. You're scaring everybody. Carter!
The shark rushes toward the tunnel and bites Carter's diving jacket and oxygen tank. Carter has taken off the gear and fixed it to the tunnel. Behind it, Carter shoots a dart. He breathes with a handheld oxygen tank as the shark becomes still, the dart lodged just behind its eye.
Boarding platform engaged. He's got her.
Carter strokes the shark's back as he rides with it on a platform being raised into the lab.
Did someone order the fish?
The shark's fin comes up out of the water, and the doctor looks on with a slight smile. Carter surfaces and glances at the doctor. Franklin stares open-mouthed at the huge shark.
What in God's creation?
Oh, not his.
He looks at Jim.
Ours.
A long mechanical arm extends over the pool and lowers to just above the shark.
Commencing scan.
A CAT scan is displayed.
Gen 2 is online, transferring exotics to remote terminals. Vital signs to Terminal 1. Diagnostic imaging to Terminal 2.
Jim pushes two computer keys.
All right, we're live and in color.
BP 67 over 43, heart rate 50 BPM. Within norms.
Jim looks at the doctor and nods. Carter strokes the shark. Water rushes over its moving gills.
She's sleeping like a baby.
Okay.
The doctor steps down closer to the shark and extends another, smaller mechanical arm over it. Watching a monitor to guide her, she lowers the arm with three small sharp ends near the shark's skin. She pokes the shark's skin and it raises its head up. Janice monitors its heart rate and blood pressure. The doctor looks at Carter.
Bad dreams?
The doctor looks around, then lowers the arm again until three laser beams join together to form one red beam in the center of the arm. She pokes the three sharp ends into the shark and secures them.
In position.
Vitals are stable.
The doctor takes the long needle that she was practicing with on the shark model and pokes it through the middle of the arm until it punctures the shark's skin on the laser spot. Carter pours water on the shark and it moves slightly. The doctor looks at Carter. The monitor shows her progress as she lowers the needle into the shark's brain.
Aspirating 4.5 cc's.
She draws out a light brown liquid from the shark's brain into a syringe. Jim moves the monitor and she hands him the syringe. She removes the sharp ends of the machine from the shark and looks at Jim. He hands her a vial containing the liquid. And she walks past him as everyone looks on.
Introducing 2 cc's of the protein complex into cultured, inactive brain neurons of an Alzheimer's patient.
She puts a few drops of the protein complex onto a piece of brain under a microscope.
And what you're looking for here is lightning in a bottle.
She brings the image up on a computer monitor and they all watch.
Pritchin complex is interacting with the neurons.
The image of the inactive brain cells changes to a dark screen, and the doctor starts to smile.
Neurons are becoming hyperosmotic. Membrane integrity is improving.
Jim and Janice watch the screen intently.
They're firing! They're firing!
1 second. Two. Three.
Still firing.
Four, five. Six.
6.560 seconds.
They kiss.
I'll be damned.
No, sir. For 6.560 seconds, you saw what it's like not to be down.
Congratulations.
Franklin shakes the doctor's hand. Jim walks away from the group and gets a cigarette.
Are you impressed?
Overly impressed.
6.560 seconds.
All right. Now that you've got this, how long do you think it will take before you can make something that will...
Did it, pal.
You did it.
The shark lunges out of the pool and chomps off Jim's arm. Jim drags himself on the floor.
No!
Carter jumps out of the pool. Janice runs to Jim as the shark thrashes about wildly. Carter breaks a glass case and grabs a gun. The doctor slides through bloody water to a red control button. She presses it, and as Carter aims the gun, the shark sinks back out of the lab.
Are you insane?
Gritting her teeth, she looks up at him, shaking.
Tower, we need paramedics and evac now.
In the tower.
All frequencies SOS.
Please respond.
Giant waves roll as rain pours over the ocean. A helicopter comes out of the darkness.
X-ray, unbelievable 18, coming off of Royal Platform Chiapa.
In the elevator, Jim is on a gurney.
We'll take that post you've always wanted.
Damn, he's hemorrhaging.
They say the yellow butterfly is the thickest cloud.
The helicopter moves in closer.
Research Station Aquatica. X-ray Alpha 218. Have you in sight? Approaching from 060. Over.
Copy, commanding.
Stay with him, Jenny. Keep talking.
Carter slides the elevator door open.
Let's move.
The tower operator switches on a searchlight.
Careful. I'm not this kind of doctor.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Franklin pushes a button, and the group looks out at the fierce storm and choppy sea.
Where's the chopper? Tower? Come on, Brenda. Where's my chopper?
In the helicopter.
El viento está fuerte.
The pilot looks down at the unstable Aquatica.
Franklin, this is it.
As the helicopter moves closer, Franklin moves to the head of the gurney and Carter hurries down a catwalk. He's nearly thrown over by a huge wave. The helicopter stabilizes.
Coming in. Keep it coming.
Ready. It's all right, honey. Hold on.
They give Jim oxygen and Carter guides the helicopter as it lowers a cable.
Got it. Okay, move
him
out.
Go!
Franklin and the others guide the gurney toward the helicopter. Carter attaches the cable to a harness around Jim.
One, two, three. Okay,
Subaru,
ahora.
You'll be fine, because I love you. No!
The man on the helicopter turns on the winch, and they slowly raise the cable, lifting Jim and his stretcher into the air. The others run back toward the tower, and waves wash over them.
Come on! Get up! Come on!
Janice looks back to see water splashing up onto the stretcher, and Carter falls when another wave crashes into him.
Come on, Carter! Come on! Carter!
The helicopter moves away from Aquatica with Jim dangling below.
Oye, Matingo!
The winch stops turning.
Andale!
Tenemos que irnos!
Cuidado! El cambio no se mueve!
Matingo, va a ser torrado! Cuidado!
El cable, apúrate!
Jim reaches up with his remaining arm. The winch operator grabs the cable and burns his hand when the winch releases. Brenda looks on in horror as the stretcher falls down into the black ocean and sinks into its depths. Suddenly, the cable tightens, pulling on the helicopter. The doctor and the others are back in the lab.
Damn!
What the hell?
I can't get a picture.
Tower, we're in the wet lab. You got a visual? Copy.
Can't get anything.
The helicopter is pulled rapidly toward the tower.
Do you copy? Going to backup. Got it.
In the lab, they watch on a monitor as the helicopter slams into the tower. Brenda is knocked backward as the whole tower and helicopter explode into flames. Down in the lab, Janice is knocked into the pool. In the kitchen, lights explode and rows of metal shelves fall over. Lab computers and equipment are knocked over and crash to the floor. Janice swims back to the pool surface. Carter slides head first to the edge of the pool to help her out. Topside, huge mushrooms of smoke and flame rise from Aquatica. The water below is tinged with bright orange light. In the kitchen, the chef crawls on the floor and looks around. Then finds a bottle of cooking wine.
I'm gonna take this as a sign.
He opens it and takes a swig. In the lab, some of the lights come back on. Janice looks around at the blank monitors.
It's shut down. The whole system is shut down.
Brenda? Are you there?
This thing is dead.
Franklin looks through the glass panel behind the monitors.
Somebody, please. Tell me what that is. Please.
The others look up. Then Janice's eyes widen as the tiny image of the stretcher comes out of the murky darkness. The shark has Jim still strapped to the stretcher in its mouth as it swims toward the glass. Jim's eyes widen, then close as the shark tosses him toward the glass. He cracks the glass, sticking there, and the shark swims away. Carter stares at him. The glass continues cracking, and Janice backs away fearfully. A shard of glass crashes into the lab, and they look down at it.
All right, people. Let's move. Now!
Janice stares at Jim.
Get to the door!
Come on, you can't help it. Come on.
Go. She and Franklin run as the glass breaks and water floods into the lab.
Come on, go!
They hurry to the stairs. Carter grabs the railing, but falls. He gets swept up by the mighty waters. Scoggs and the doctor run to the lab door. Janice close behind. Carter is underwater. He surfaces and climbs out at the top of the stairs.
The door may be bent. It's open!
A surge of water thunders toward them.
God, open up!
They open the door. Janice watches as the men plus the doctor lean on the door against the water pressing from the other side. Janice covers her mouth with her hands. Elsewhere, with the parrot on his shoulder, the chef picks up an intercom phone.
Brenda? Tower, can you hear me? Anyone, hello?
He looks down a corridor and takes another swig of wine, then walks down it, leaving the receiver dangling from its cord.
We gotta get topside. Find some help. What?
The stairwell door is leaking.
No! There's no other stairway from this level.
Elevator?
The elevator seals off automatically to keep the shaft from filling. There's no way up.
Carter and Franklin look at the doctor, who frowns. Meanwhile, the chef walks slowly down the corridor on sublevel 1A. He stops when he sees a flow of water on the floor. A spray of water shoots out to his side. He looks up to see pipes rattling.
All right, okay. If this is a lesson about the drinking, let's just say I've learned.
He throws down the bottle.
No need to get all carried away. Showing me your vengeful side. I know your wrath, Lord.
Meanwhile, below.
All right, quarter B is dry. We go back past the wet lab to the maintenance ladder. We climb down to level 3. We get to the wet entry. We take the sub topside, 2 at a time. We go down to get up.
Carter looks at the doctor, and she nods.
All right, let's move. Come on.
The chef continues down the corridor, then stops and looks nervously up a stairwell. He inches closer to the bottom step. The parrot flies away back down the hall. The chef looks back up and slowly climbs a few steps. Water comes down the stairwell and he jumps to get out of its way, but gets swept up and back down the stairs and corridor. Meanwhile, on sub-level 2.
Listen, sounds like somebody made it.
Over here! We're over here! Preach!
Whoa.
They stop as something pounds against a door from the other side.
What the hell is that?
Lab equipment maybe banging around.
Think so?
Not a chance.
A bolt on the door flies off and water gushes through.
Gotta get past that door. Go!
They run past the unstable door and continue down the hall. The doctor looks back anxiously as Carter and Scoggs turn the wheel on a large door. The door opens and they climb through it as water comes rushing toward them from behind. Franklin closes the door behind them. Topside, the storm rages, and the tower and several sections of Aquatica are in flames. A shark moves stealthily through the water near a stairway. It enters Aquatica through a hole.
Bird.
Preach, the chef, wades through water.
Come on, bird. Where are you, bird? Anybody here?
Below.
Say, cowboy, let me ask you a question.
No, we should keep moving.
I'm talking to him.
The doctor glares at Franklin, then looks away.
Is that a big, mean shark broke through that door?
I expect so.
You expect so? Huh.
Well. Am I the only genius down here who thinks that a tad bit odd?
It can do that? Bust through a steel door?
I ain't the expert. But I'd say, given Gentoo's size and some room to move, she could put a couple tons, maybe more, into a hit. So yeah, in my opinion, she wants through, she's coming.
And these sharks, they aren't just breaking down doors for the sheer joy of it, are they? They're after us.
It's pretty damn obvious. We don't know what they're doing yet.
Franklin moves to the doctor.
Just what the hell did you do to those sharks?
Their brains weren't large enough to harvest sufficient amounts of the protein complex. So we violated the Harvard Compact. Jim and I used gene therapies to increase their brain mass. Larger brain means more protein. As a side effect, the sharks got smarter.
Franklin sighs and Scoggs covers his face.
You stupid bitch!
The doctor looks down at Janice, who lowers her head and cries.
I didn't want this to happen, but with this research, we could practically wipe out degenerative brain disease. Think of the generations that will be saved.
Exactly how many sticks of dynamite would you have to set off in your ears before your head cleared?
You wouldn't understand.
I wouldn't, huh? Dumb old Carter wouldn't understand that you used us. That you use me.
Someone on the water who wouldn't make waves. Someone who wouldn't ask too many questions. Because he had something to lose.
You don't see what we've done here.
No, what you've done is taken God's oldest killing machine and given it will and desire. What you've done is knock us all the way to the bottom of the gall-darn food chain. It's not a great leap forward in my book.
People will say...
Jim? Brenda? Us?
All right, people. These sharks are thinking hard and clear. So here's the riddle. What does an 8,000-pound Mako shark with a brain the size of a flathead V8 engine and no natural predators think about?
I'm not waiting around here to find out.
Now you see how that works? She screwed with the sharks, and now the sharks are screwing with us.
Franklin shakes his head at the doctor and follows Carter and Scoggs. Meanwhile, Preach continues wading down a hall in chest-deep water. Shivering, he glances down as a Playboy magazine floats to him. He looks inside.
Please let me get out of here.
A shark swims in the hall behind him. He slowly turns, his eyes wide. The shark speeds up. Preach lunges forward and underwater, then comes back up and tries to run through the water. The shark follows at a rapid pace. Preach approaches the kitchen doors, glances briefly down another hall, and goes inside. Inside the kitchen, he grabs a floating frying pan. From the shark's viewpoint, it looks at the kitchen doors, then turns down the other hall. From the kitchen, Preach can see it through a window panel as it swims away. He lowers the frying pan and puts his hand underwater to clutch the large cross he's wearing on a chain around his neck. He closes his eyes and prays. Meanwhile, Carter and Scoggs lead the way for Janice, the doctor, and Franklin as they walk in a dry corridor.
So what if the sharks get through the fence and into the ocean?
It's okay. The fence on the ocean side is titanium, and it gives, so it works just like a net.
Let's get to the sub. We'll discuss it on the way to the top.
They approach a door. Carter opens it, and they enter on the second level of the wet entry, where the submarine is cocked to one side, partially in a pool. They look down at the disabled sub. Preach grabs an axe from the kitchen wall next to a partially submerged signboard with the menu written on it. He looks around. His legs are shown from an underwater viewpoint as he walks across the kitchen. He climbs a metal shelf unit, and behind him, the kitchen doors open. He looks back at the now closed doors and into the water below, then continues climbing. He almost falls back when the parrot flies off the top of the shelving unit. He looks around and sees the bird land on a floating pot. He carefully climbs down a little and reaches out for the bird.
Careful now. Come on, bird. Come on. Please, baby.
Butterhead!
See Daddy smile? Come on. Bring your feathery ears here. Come on.
The shark comes out of the water and grabs the bird. Preach loses his balance and the entire shelving unit falls back. He hits the water and the shelves fall on him. He slides out from under them. He surfaces and looks around quickly, then starts swimming with the axe in his hand. He reaches the oven and pulls open the door, the shark close behind him. He closes the oven door just before the shark reaches him.
Explosion caused that?
No. There's nothing in here that could have blown with enough force to move that damn sub.
Whatever, it's junk.
Well, we could all just dive in and see who makes it to the top.
Janice looks at the pool, smiling and shivering.
Isn't that the old aquatica spirit, Dr. Susie? dive in? You could go first, to lead by example.
It's my best friend, Janice.
I'm not going in the water.
Come on, you don't have...
No way, man, the sharks are in there.
Listen, we put these on. They help fight hypothermia. That's a start. And unless someone's got a better idea, we're going to have to swim out of here.
In the kitchen, the shark goes for the oven again. Preach watches it through the glass door. It turns the oven on.
This is it happening.
The shark continues to ram into the oven door. Preach pushes on the metal above him. The shark cracks the glass in the door. Preach hacks at the metal with the axe.
I'm not Daniel when he faced the lion! So I appreciate the ironing board! Cooked us in his own oven! I've got other...
He stands and squeezes through the opening he's made, crawling into the upper part of the oven. The shark backs away, then moves forward. It bursts through into the lower oven. Preach opens the top door as the shark thrashes around under him. He jumps into the water behind the shark and swims toward the kitchen doors. The shark turns toward him, and Preach takes out a lighter and lights it.
You ate my bird.
He throws the lighter, and it lands near the shark just as it comes up out of the water with its mouth gaping. The kitchen explodes into flames, and Preach is blown back out into the hall.
Is that the surface?
No, the vibrations are too deep. That was from inside.
Scoggs and Janice are putting on wetsuits. Carter glances over at Franklin standing near the pool and broken sub.
I wouldn't get that close if I were you. Just a suggestion.
Water's murky. Might make it.
No way. No, we won't.
Scoggs jumps up to move some crates.
It's 230 feet from the lagoon floor to the lagoon surface. The average human swims 2 feet per second. The average shark swims 50 feet per second. There's no way I'm getting into that pool. Now, what we have here is your basic maintenance ladder. This leads all the way up to the surface.
I love you, Scoggs. I really do.
Wait, why do I feel a butt coming on?
But we don't know what kind of shape the surface level is in. The shaft is airlocked, but if the explosion has breached the shaft at surface level in any way, we won't have enough pressure in here to keep the wet pool stabilized.
If the pool isn't stabilized, there's about 1 million tons of ocean just dying to get in here. We could bring the whole facility down. We're better off taking our chances with the sharks.
Hey, you want to go swim with your little fishes, miss? You go right ahead. Me? I'm opening this door, and I'm climbing out of here.
The hell you are.
Hey, I don't work for you anymore, okay? I don't have to take
enough! Your orders. That's enough now, from all of you.
Janice, Carter, Scoggs, and Dr. Susie stare at Franklin.
You think water's fast? You should see ice. It moves like it has a mind. Like it knows it killed the world once. It got a taste for murder. When the avalanche came, it took us a week to climb out. And somewhere, we lost hope. Now, I don't know exactly when we turned on each other. I just know that 7 of us survived the slide. And only 5 made it out. Now, we took an oath that I'm breaking now. Swore that we said it was the snow that killed the other two. But it wasn't. Nature can be lethal. But it doesn't hold a candle to man. Now, you've seen how bad things can get and how quick they can get that way. Well, they can get a whole lot worse. So we're not going to fight anymore. We're going to pull together, and we're going to find a way to get out of here. First, we're going to seal off this pool.
A shark comes out of the pool and grabs Franklin, dragging him underwater.
Oh, my God.
Skog sinks to the floor.
Just ate him. Just ate him. I'm not moving. I'm not moving from here. Someone will come. They'll come and they'll get us and we'll be fine.
Skog.
No, I'm not moving. I'm not
Listen
moving,
to me.
No.
Tom, what is the precise structural failure limit for Aquatica?
3,200 tons.
Come on, Tom. What happens when we get more than 3,200 tons of water in this rig?
Skog stares at Carter.
The support struts go first. Their tolerance is about 7 tons. So they're going to crack like toothpicks. Then the walls are going to buckle. They can't handle more than 10 tons of pressure.
I want to be here for that, man.
Carter extends his hand to him.
Hell no. Hell no.
Skog and Carter turn a wheel to open the door.
Moment of truth. Again.
They look around. The pool gushes straight up like a huge geyser. The four get blasted with water and debris. The women rush through the door, followed by Skog and Carter. They struggle to shut the door against the immense pressure. Janice starts up the maintenance ladder with Susie close behind her. Susie looks back as water covers the door. Skog and Carter go underwater. They finish tightening the hatch. Balls of fire are falling through the shaft into the water below. Skog surfaces. Carter surfaces.
I got you.
Carter drags Skog up onto the ladder with him.
The elevator's blocking the top, but if we make it to level one, we can take the stairs out.
A fireball flies past Carter. Meanwhile, underwater, a shark enters the flooded wet entry area through the pool opening and swims toward the door to the shaft. It slams into the door. Susie and Carter look down.
Let's get the hell out of here. Go! Go! Go!
They climb quickly.
What are you doing?
The sharks break through that door. Water's gonna bring them right to us. Now, level two's only partially flooded. If I can get that access door open, the water will run off there. Buy some time.
Carter lets Skog's pass.
Be careful.
The shark bursts through the door and swims around the water at the bottom of the shaft. Carter sees it and looks up at the others.
No!
Goes back down the ladder to level two.
No, no.
A fireball brushes his arm. Holding onto a pylon, he makes his way to the door. He tries to pry it open with his fingers, then grabs a knife from his boot. As the water swells below him, he works with the knife to pry open the sliding double doors. The others are still climbing. He breaks the handle off his knife, then looks out at the shark swimming in circles as the water rapidly rises to the second level. He gets the doors open and uses his back and arms to separate them. He's swept off the platform into the water for a moment before reaching the ladder. The shark bites at him just as he scrambles out of the water. Susie looks down to see him climbing up. Meanwhile, the Aquatica is becoming heavy with water and starts to break apart. Bolts holding the ladder to the shaft wall fly out. The ladder falls from the wall and lands lengthwise over the water. Janice falls in.
Jan!
Scoggs and Susie hang from the ladder. They use their feet to lift themselves as Carter climbs out onto it from underneath.
Jan, stay there!
She surfaces and Carter puts his legs on the ladder and hangs upside down over her. Disappears. Carter, Susie, and Scoggs look down at the water.
Scoggs.
Yeah.
Reach that door, buddy.
Standing on the ladder, Scoggs turns and reaches up the wall toward the door.
It's too high. It's too high.
Carter blinks slowly. Then Susie crawls over next to him. Carter squeezes his eyes shut. Susie looks up toward the door.
Sharks probably flooded that level too.
They watch the door. And Preach comes through and looks down at them. They look up at him. And he smiles and salutes them. Later, the water in the shaft reaches the ladder as a rope made of tied together towels is pulled out.
Came to this side. The other side is underwater.
You didn't exactly plan.
Yeah, it wasn't
like a
plan.
Are you all
that
made it?
Susie stares at Preach, then looks away.
We did it. We're on level one. We can take the access stair all the way up to the surface. The stairs are flooded. Trust me, I know. Are you sure?
Preach points at his burned temple.
Give us a doggone break, kid!
He always answers. Sometimes the answer you get isn't the answer you want.
Carter looks up.
We're 60 feet from the surface.
He goes to a map.
There's a emergency hatch on this level, right?
Okay, listen. This level has bilge pumps on it for storm runoff. If we could reroute the emergency generators, we could drain one whole stairway.
You sure?
Who are you going to trust?
He stares at Scoggs.
That's right. You trust me.
Later, they enter a cabin with a fish tank and a bed.
And we have poker here tomorrow night.
She'd always draw to the inside straight when she could have stuck with a pair.
Big dreams.
Okay, Jan was a healthy girl. Something in here has to run on batteries.
Later, Preach hands Scoggs a clock.
4 a.m. I know. One night feels like a whole week.
Relativity.
What do you mean?
Einstein's theory of relativity. Grab hold of a hot pan, a second can seem like an hour. Put your hands on a hot woman, an hour can seem like a second. It's all relative.
I spent 4 years at Caltech, and that's the best physics explanation I've ever heard.
Scoggs hands Carter a flashlight.
It works.
All right, you stay with the doc. Me and Scoggs are going to go try to get to the wet lab during that stairwell.
Preach?
What?
Scoggs turns around.
Would you zip me up, please?
He turns again, and they grasp hands and hug. Later, the rope made of towels is dangling from a doorway into the water. Below, Scoggs and Carter swim down a flooded corridor, their heads barely above water.
We got one. There's two sharks left.
Meanwhile, Susie looks at a photo of Jan.
I need to get some things from my quarters, Preacher. Research data. Tests, they work.
So much death all around us to risk any more life for some numbers.
Without that data, everyone dying isn't just tragic. It's useless.
Death is always useless, Doctor.
Scoggs and Carter are in the flooded corridor. Carter shines his flashlight on the wall where it reads, Lab Corridor, Sector A.
This is it. Stay here. Be back before you know it.
Carter!
Carter goes underwater and shines the flashlight on a wall. A shark swims steadily down a corridor. Scoggs hangs onto a pylon and waits for Carter. Carter enters the flooded wet lab and swims downward, holding onto the stair rail. He gets tangled in some cables, then gets loose and looks around. Suddenly, Jim's body is in front of him. Carter swims away quickly and surfaces. Scoggs surfaces next to him.
What the hell's going on?
It's okay.
I thought you were coming back for me.
One of your stupid monitors is blocking the pan. You want to help me move it?
Yeah. I said we'd do everything right together.
Right together.
Preach opens a canvas bag and pulls out a video camera. His image appears in the camera's view.
Hello. My name is Sherman Dudley. And if this message finds you, then I did not survive, so this is my legacy. I have loved the pulpit, and I have loved the bottom. I did my best to be a good husband, a father. I came up wanting. So what do I have to say to you? What mark do I have to leave behind?
He furrows his brow, then smiles.
We will begin with the perfect omelet, which is made with two eggs, not three. Amateurs often add milk for density. This is a mistake.
Carter and Scoggs swim underwater in the wet lab to a pile of equipment. They move it out of the way. They uncover a control panel of power switches. Scoggs turns a knob and a red light comes on. He turns another and a green light comes on, then gives the thumbs up to Carter. Carter gives him the okay, then points up. Suddenly, his eyes widen and Scoggs turns around just before a shark grabs him and rams him into the control panel in a cloud of blood. Carter swims away quickly and surfaces. He looks back underwater, then swims rapidly toward the door. As the huge shark comes toward him, the shark swims by, its mouth gaping. Carter gets the door open and is tossed down the corridor in a bulge of water. Meanwhile, Preach steps through the doorway of the shaft and places the videotape in a plastic bag. Carter surfaces.
Carter! Come on!
Preach shoves the bag in his pocket and Carter swims toward him. Susie tiptoes down a passageway in waist-deep water toward the open door of her quarters. She goes inside and looks around. Preach pulls Carter out of the water onto the door platform. He looks back into the water with a frown.
Damn it, Scott.
He clutches his cross and Carter grasps his hand. They both look down and Preach shakes his head.
Where's Susan?
Carter gets up.
Oh, I'm done. Brothers never make it out of situations like this.
Not ever.
Susie is walking in her quarters, waist deep in water. She sees her locker and takes the chain with the key from around her neck. Opening the locker door, she's shown from across the room. She looks around the locker at some floating items, then feels around underwater. She grabs the plastic-wrapped computer diskettes and holds them to her face as a fin comes through the water behind her. It's the shark model. She pushes it away. Across the room, a fin rises from the water again and she furrows her brow. It starts to thrash its tail and move toward her and she rushes to the other side of the table. The shark lunges for her, biting the metal table. She stumbles on a short round table, then stands on top of it as the shark thrashes wildly about. Suddenly, the shark backs away into the water. Underwater, her feet are shown on the table. She looks around, fearfully, clutching the bag of diskettes to her chest. Her feet move off the table and she falls into the water. She climbs out of the water onto a shelf and drops the bag. She reaches into the water, grabbing for it, and almost has it. The shark comes up and bites at her, but she backs away and stands on the table. It sinks back into the water again. She looks above her at a light fixture. She rips an electrical conduit off the wall, then with a determined look begins to take off her wetsuit, leaving her in her bra and panties. She steps out of the wetsuit while the shark rams another table nearby. She wads up the wetsuit and stands on it, then reaches behind herself to grab the conduit. The shark comes at her and she rips the conduit down from the wall. Sparks fly from the end of the conduit and when the shark comes up out of the water, Susie thrusts the end of it into the shark's mouth. The shark moves about wildly, the conduit in its mouth, then sinks back into the water. She slides down the wall behind her, looking out at the still shark, and sees the plastic bag containing the now destroyed diskettes. She closes her eyes and lowers her head. Pieces of the damaged Aquatica are on the ocean floor.
Susan! Susan!
Carter and Breach make their way down the flooded corridor to Susie's quarters.
Did you do it? Where's Scoggins?
Carter lowers his head and shakes it. Later, they open a door and go through it into a small room. Breach shuts the door behind them.
Is this the only way?
Exits are flooded. Whole place is sinking. It's this way or no way at all.
Breach picks up an orange life vest.
You can bring on the good news any time now.
Sharks are attracted to churning water, bright colors. These extinguishers should be a distraction.
Carter takes it.
What about us?
Vest will bring up too fast. Your lungs will pop like a balloon.
You weren't the sunny kid in your class, were you?
I never went to class.
Well, how far to the surface? What is it, 60 feet?
There's nothing to it. Remember, exhale on the way up. Get the hell out of the water. I gotta equalize pressure before we blow the airlock. I gotta let the room fill up with water.
Susie stands.
That's only gonna take a few seconds. You ready?
No.
Not in the least.
Carter turns a wheel and water pours into the space. Breach holds out both his hands and Susie looks at Carter. Then she and Carter each take a hand and Carter grasps her hand.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Two sharks down, Lord. One demon fish to go. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. I can't hear
amen.
You. Come on, let's go.
They float with the rising water to the airlock hatch.
Okay, hold on, three. Ready? One, two, three, go.
They hold their breath as they're submerged and the water rises to the hatch. Carter opens the hatch and Susie swims out first, holding onto a life vest wrapped extinguisher. Carter nods and Preach follows her, releasing another of the extinguishers. Carter follows, releasing another. They all swim toward the surface with the spraying and bubbling extinguishers ahead of them. The shark swims toward one of the ascending extinguishers. Grabs it and swims away, shaking its head violently. Susie surfaces, then Preach surfaces, and lastly Carter. Susie and Carter watch in horror as Preach is dragged across the water's surface from underneath. Susie and Carter swim rapidly away as the shark lifts its head out of the water with Preach in its mouth. They reach a floating section of Aquatica. Underwater, in a cloud of blood, Preach grabs his cross and stabs at the shark with it. Susie watches from her dry perch. Preach stabs the shark in the eye and it releases him. Carter looks back at Preach and swims toward him. He grabs Preach and drags him toward Susie. They help him out of the water. Later, smoke pours from the destroyed and sinking Aquatica. In the partially sunken tower, Susie bandages Preach's leg. She strokes his forehead, and he opens his eyes.
It's the devil, you know.
He closes them again, and Susie furrows her brow. She gets up and walks to Carter on the outside of the tower.
he'll be okay if we can get out of here.
Carter nods, and they look out at the burning debris, sinking catwalks, and damaged perimeter fence.
Son of a bitch.
What?
Those fences are titanium underneath, but on top, they're just plain steel. They've been hurting us, pushing us where they want, using us to flood the facility.
Oh, my God.
That's the answer to the riddle, because that's what an 8,000-pound Mako thinks about. About freedom. About the deep blue sea.
We have to kill her.
That's the first real smart thing you said all day.
Water sprays up from an area near the fence.
Here we go.
Carter runs out onto a catwalk and Susie follows, while the shark moves through the water and rams the fence. Carter hands Susie a harpoon gun and a small box.
Go.
He carries a large battery and has a bag slung over his shoulder. They move up some stairs to the top of the tower. He takes apart a harpoon tip, and Susie takes apart a flare.
We ought to get about 2.5 sticks of dynamite out of these flares.
Carter pours black powder from the flare into a metal cylinder. He reattaches the cylinder to the tip and loads the gun.
From up here, you ought to be able to see me spirit. When I do, you take this end of this cable, hook it up to the positive side of the boat battery, and boom.
He hands her the cable and smiles at her, then climbs down. The shark continues crashing into the fence. Carter runs along the top of a mostly submerged concrete wall, trailing the cable behind, then walks to the edge of the water and points the harpoon gun. The shark swims toward the fence again. The shark gnaws at a hole in the fence.
Dan! I can't get her! She's far away!
I know how to get her.
How?
Bait.
What?
The shark rams the fence, and Carter aims at it again. Susie slices her hand with a metal shard.
She may be the smartest animal in the world, but she's still just an animal. Come to Mama.
The shark tries to squeeze through the hole in the fence. Susie runs and jumps into the water, hands raised above her. Carter sees her and lowers his gun. Preach opens an eye.
Susan, don't!
She swims out toward the shark, then treads water. The shark leaves the fence and turns toward her.
Get out of the water!
She turns and swims away while Carter runs toward the tower. She grabs at a ladder rung, but it comes loose and she falls back. The shark rushes toward her and she watches it wide-eyed. The shark stops and stares at her. Carter dives into the water just in time to see the shark snap her up into its huge jaws. He swims to the ladder as the shark comes after him. He sinks back down and swims underwater to face the shark. It lunges, but Carter moves out of the way just in time. He grabs its fin and rides on its back as it surfaces again. Preach pulls himself up to the top of the tower holding the harpoon gun. The shark dives back into the water, Carter still hanging on. And Preach drags himself to the battery. standing on his good leg. Preach looks at the harpoon while Carter is being dragged underwater. Preach aims the harpoon. The shark surfaces.
All right, Owen.
Shoot it, Preach!
This is for Scoggins.
Shoot it!
The harpoon goes through the fin and into Carter's leg. The gun is yanked out of Preach's hands.
Blow it, Preach! Blow it! The battery! Blow it!
Preach bends down to the battery. Carter is dragged under again. Preach picks up the end of the cable and looks at it while the shark moves rapidly toward the fence with Carter still hanging on. The shark breaks through the fence and Carter is ripped free when he grabs onto the fence and the shark swims into the open water. Preach touches the cable to the battery and the shark explodes into a huge ball of blood, water, and fire spraying up into the air.
Yeah!
Preach looks down sadly as blood and pieces of shark carcass rain down onto the ocean. Carter surfaces. Preach smiles broadly.
Carter!
Hey!
Bring me some sushi!
Carter swims back toward Preach, who hangs his head in relief. A huge circle of blood stains the ocean surface. Carter swims up to a catwalk and Preach helps him up.
Forty-five-foot shark. You hit me. Nice.
It could have been worse. I could have let him eat your ass.
Preach smiles. They look out at the water.
Hey, Carter, we're sinking, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Are you sure it was just three sharks?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Carter looks at him, then raises his legs out of the water.
That's more like it.
The water taxi appears on the horizon.
Here comes the next shift.
Let me tell you, man, I quit this job.
Huh. Oh, take me back to the ghetto.
They lie back on the catwalk.
Amen.
Jaws of death, paddle cross my depths, I pause your breath. I caught you, you sink down 40,000 leagues, bleeding to death with no arms or short sleeves. My world's deep blue, killers gotta eat too. Looking for human flesh to rip my teeth through. Other fish in the sea, but barracudas ain't equal to a half-human predator created by a needle. Jet black eyes, baby, they stare while you sleep. When your Titanic sink, I'm the one you gon' meet. Hearing terrified screams, they surround my team. All you see is trails of blood, even God won't intervene. Nightmares of darkness, my appetite is heartless. Even if we related, you eliminated regardless. In the deep blue underwater walls, half man, half shark, my jaws don't fall. Name, kill this water beast, swallow him in flames. They switch my DNA, flip me to Cool J. I can't fight the feeling, I'm forced to kill prey. To survive an attack, there's only one way. Battle to the death, that's how sharks play. Weapons left behind, we dueling with the mind. You blind, crippled, and crazy, you're real easy to find. Struggling to float with hemorrhages in your throat. Getting the lap dance when I smash through your boat. Eat your whole fam, nothing left with a right hand. Clinging to a rail, escape or attempt fail. You never make it home, tear the flesh off your bone. Walking in undercurrents is a dangerous zone. I'm talking death.
deeper, take it deeper, yeah. Take it deeper, waist level, the hallway's flooded, lost your scuba gear, the killer's cold-blooded, his name's LL, you don't really want it, I ate your ancestors, the ocean is haunted, I'm closing in, cause I'm supposed to win, how the cold steel feel when it froze your shin, should've stayed on dry land, stroke while you can, cause now you under pressure in the land of the damned, abandoned pirate ships, eels and side scars, fish that glow in the dark, the Titanic's hull, underwater storms, your blood is so warm, your life vest is